Oh, good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you before, my name is Peter Evans. I'm on the pastoral team here, and a special welcome to Roma and anybody else who might be watching this online. This is week four in our Eyes Forward Vision 2021 series. Now, we've spent 3 weeks on our mission, which is to follow Jesus, who calls us together to grow and go reach the world. And this week, we start on the first part of our vision, that in 2021, we want to see a church family who is prayerfully seeking God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your scriptures now, it is our prayer that your Spirit would open our eyes to see it, open our ears to hear it, and give us a heart to apply what we learn to our lives. Father God, I pray that you would use me in a way as your mouthpiece this morning. Don't let me be an obstacle to your word being heard. Father, we pray that your word would be applied to each and every one of us where we are individually at. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is not by accident that we've made prayer the first point in our five-year vision, because the work of the church starts and indeed ends in prayer. In fact, I'm hoping to show you that prayer is fundamental to life as a healthy Christian and a healthy church. And I want to show you that prayer lies at the heart of the church by understanding the what and the why of prayer. What is prayer and why do we do it? Because, you know, prayer isn't restricted to Christians. Most religions promote some form of prayer. Prayer is at the very heart of what it means to believe for Muslims and Jews. Muslims pray 5 times a day, Jews traditionally 3. Buddhists pray 2. They have a prayer wheel that flings prayers of compassion into the atmosphere. Hindus pray to any of several gods to bring peace and harmony to the world. Now, I don't think I need to convince you that prayer, though, is important, even essential in the life of someone following Jesus. But I do think we often don't understand what prayer is and why we do it. And we're in danger of prayer becoming nothing more than a shopping list of requests of God. So thinking about why pray, the simplest answer is that God simply tells us to, that we're commanded to pray. And there are lots of passages that just say pray. Jesus says at the start of Matthew 6, and when you pray. A bit later he says, this then is how you should pray. Paul says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray continually. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And I guess if Jesus thought it was worthwhile to pray, then we should too. If Jesus needed to pray to remain in the Father's will, how much more do we? There's a place for us to pray simply because God says so. The discipline of praying regularly, despite how we're feeling, can be a good thing. In the video, we saw that Ian and Lynn don't let their feet hit the floor before they pray. C.S. Lewis, he said, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving all of that back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And John Bunyan reckons, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. We're commanded to pray. However, you know what, for me, if that's the only reason for prayer, the only fuel for the fire, then for me the danger of it is that prayer would become something that's purely routine, It can become lifeless and dull if I'm praying continually, purely out of duty. So to understand the question, why pray, beyond it's a command, we need to understand what prayer is. Now, Jesus gave us a template for prayer in the passage read this morning. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, it's something worth memorizing. But the main purpose of the Lord's Prayer is to give us a model for prayer, a template. And what we see here is that prayer, it starts with God. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9 to 10, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The prayer opens by recognizing God as our Father, that we are his children, that he gave birth to us. He has a warm, loving authority as our Father. That in heaven, he has sovereign rule over all things. So straight away, we're invited by God the Son, Jesus, in teaching us this prayer into intimacy with our Heavenly Father. And then it says his name is hallowed, which means set apart as holy. Our Heavenly Father is to be treated with the utmost respect. And we're told what God's agenda is right at the very beginning of this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's agenda is the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. God's agenda is the whole of creation following God's will. God's agenda is heaven established right here on earth. So prayer is a response to who God is and what he is doing. Prayer is a type of surrendering, to the will of God and cooperation with that will. You know, if I throw out a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me? Or do I pull myself to the shore? Because prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God, getting onto his agenda. So prayer is continuing a conversation that God has already started. It was God who kicked this conversation of prayer off. If we go right back to the beginning, it was God who spoke the universe into being. He said, "Let there be light." Have you ever thought about prayer as continuing a conversation that God's already started? You see, God's not like Tinkerbell in a Peter Pan movie who only exists as long as we believe in him. God always was. God's already spoken. He's spoken volumes to us in his word. And he wants us to continue the conversation by listening to him and responding, and that's called prayer. God's inviting us to enter into this conversation, getting to know him through his word, and through his word in the work that he's doing in the creation around us. And the more we converse with him, the more we know him, and the more we cannot help but hallow his name. Because we will discover just how holy and just how gracious and just how loving he truly is. The grand plan is to invite us into God's kingdom. And to fulfill that plan, what did God do? He sent his own son as a king. But no ordinary king, a servant king, who would die on behalf of his people, who would die to secure our citizenship. So prayer, it starts with God, who starts a conversation with us through his word that we're invited to continue with the ultimate aim of entering and expanding his kingdom. See, prayer is meant to result in you and me fully experiencing God. So how do we pray like this? How do we have this ongoing conversation which God has already started? Well, I think one way is to simply immerse ourselves in the language of the Bible. We start our prayers by listening to God first, God who started the conversation. We can use God's word to inspire our own words in prayer. We've got a whole book of prayers right here in our Bibles, the Psalms. The Psalms was written to inspire us in our prayers. Try picking a psalm and using it to shape your prayer. Try taking a psalm and inserting your name into it. Have you ever done that? I grabbed Psalm 5 and I inserted my name. Listen to Peter's words, Lord. Consider Peter's lament. Hear Peter's cry for help. Peter's king and Peter's God. To you, Peter prays. The Psalms particularly, but there are lots of other passages in the Bible too. They fuel our prayer and help us focus more on praying God's word. So prayer, it starts with God. He started a conversation that we're invited to continue. We get to know God as Father and that He's good and that His goodness will come to earth as His kingdom comes. So according to the Lord's Prayer template, it's important we start by affirming who God is and that we need to get on board with His agenda first. After that, in this template, we're shown how we can pray for ourselves. You see, a true understanding of God as our Heavenly Father, it puts our own needs in second place. But this doesn't mean we can't mention our needs as if we shouldn't bother God with such trivia, as if our needs are unworthy of God's attention. That's not the case at all, because God invites us in verses 11 to 13 to be praying for God's provision. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See, we're to pray for everything necessary for our daily life, like bread and chocolate and coffee. And we're to ask God to forgive us as we've forgiven those who've sinned against us. Now, this is spelt out even further in a couple more verses, in verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. So you can't have one hand open to receive God's forgiveness and one hand a clenched fist against anyone who dares wrong you. You know, our prayers can be nullified if there's someone that we just can't forgive. Holding back forgiveness is toxic to our prayer life. Holding back forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Jesus is saying here, maintain your personal relationship with me. Don't let any sin get in the way of your relationship with me. Be so grateful of God's forgiveness that you do the same to others in your life. This is living out the gospel. This is living out the kingdom that Jesus is ushering in. And in verse 13, that word there, temptation, it could also mean testing. It's saying, please spare us from difficult situations that might tempt us into sin. And deliver us from evil or the evil one, that could mean there. Because you know what? This is a spiritual battle we fight. And if you're not engaged in a spiritual battle, then maybe the devil thinks you're not much of a threat to him. Because I tell you what, my week's been a week on my knees. Can I say, beware if you get the feeling that you've made it, that you've got all you want in life. Because that is often the time when Satan loves to strike. Do not be fooled. Satan is the king of lies. He thrives on lies. He lives on deceit. He'll serve you up a plate of manure and have you believe it's gourmet. Don't fall asleep at your post, because he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He's not going to tempt you with something easy to say no to. He's a father of lies. So give him no opportunity. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know what? Satan, he is a thief. He is only interested in stealing and killing and destroying. But Jesus came so we can have life and have that life abundantly. Pray for God's leading and deliverance. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil, in the heavenly places, Paul says. If we're serious about this mission and vision for the next 5 years, we are going to rattle Satan's cage, and we'd better be ready to do battle on our knees. We better be ready for the onslaught, because it's already started. You better be praying for me, Ross, Mitch, Joshua, Kathleen, our elders, our comm, our home group leaders, edge leaders, True Stone leaders, MOPS leaders, the person sitting beside you, any of us, sticking our head above the trench and taking a pot shot at Satan. Because Satan's already started trying to take some of us out. Now, it means we must be doing something right, because he's pushing against us. But if we're not prayerfully seeking God, if we're not putting him first, if we're not continuing this conversation he has started with us, if we're not working in the power of his name, not relying on him to provide what we need, then we are not following his agenda. Prayer is all about putting God in his rightful place in the center of everything that we do. Prayer is inviting God to be the center of our lives. Prayer is declaring our allegiance. Thomas Lye said, "I'd rather stand against the canons of the wicked than against the prayers of the righteous." Our prayers, you know what they do? They bombard Satan's stronghold. Our prayers open our eyes to see God's purpose and power. Your prayers are opportunities for God to do incredible things in your life, and incredible things in the lives of those that you pray for. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing." We need you. We need you to sign up and become an army of prayer warriors in this church, prayerfully seeking God, praying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said this to the first leader in the church. He said, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The prayers of the saints, bathed in scripture, declaring our faith in God, living out the gospel of Jesus, brothers and sisters following, growing, and going. The gates of hell shall not prevail against a church prayerfully seeking God. Let me pray. Father, Prayer is not for the faint-hearted. Prayer is the place in which we do battle. Prayer is the place in which we fight against the old man in us. And we fight to live out the resurrected life, born again in Jesus. Help us in our prayers to enter the battlefield. Help us to use this template that Jesus, the Son of God, has given us of putting God first. Father, you started this conversation, and prayer is an invitation from us to continue that conversation with you. Help us to make you the center, the beginning, the heart of our prayer, that through our prayers we might declare to this world where our true allegiance lies, that our faith is in you, that we believe you have the power to break down Satan's stronghold. We believe you have the power to do what in our strength is impossible. And so we will pray and do things in your strength rather than ours. And help us to pray for what we need for this task. Help us to live out to the world the forgiveness that you have first shown us. And help us to take part in fighting against temptation in our life. For this is a spiritual battle we fight, and we do it on our knees. In Jesus' name, amen.